In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, grace and peace to you all this morning, dear family. Our meditation this morning is a good meditation for every morning, for it regards how so many waste so much time on temporal things, and unlike you being here today, spend way too little time on eternal things. Your family, time is the only thing we cannot buy. No amount of money can perpetually delay our inevitable suffering and death. Which means that one day we will run out of time. And when that day comes for each one of us, we will be called to account for our time. Did we waste it, or did we make good use of it? Today's sacred scripture reminds us again of the divine nature of God and his inclination toward forgiveness. His nature is such that it cannot help but forgive those who repent. So while we still live, it is not too late. It is never too late to repent. Hence, we have God's prophet Micah teaching us the following. Who is there like you, the God who removes guilt and pardons sin for the remnant of his inheritance, who does not persist in anger forever, but delights rather in clemency? And will again have compassion on us, treading underfoot our guilt. You will cast into the depths of the sea all our sins. Micah's words are true. For after all, what good would it do every prophet, right up to and including the greatest, St. John the Baptist, and with Jesus himself at the start of his public ministry, to tell us to repent if Almighty God was not inclined to forgive us in the first place? Do you see why from time to time I use a Eucharistic prayer for reconciliation? Quote, for you do not cease to spur us on to possess a more abundant life and being rich in mercy, you constantly offer pardon and call on sinners to trust in your forgiveness alone. Even now, you set before your people a time of grace and reconciliation, and as they turn back to you in spirit, you grant them hope in Christ Jesus. And the fact is that our Father wills that every single human being be saved. That is his will. But it requires that every single human being repent. No repentance, no forgiveness, no salvation. No point in Jesus redeeming us. No heaven. Our Father wills that every single human being be saved through repentance and forgiveness of those times when we do not do the will of our Father, which leads us right into today's gospel, when Jesus said, well, whoever does the will of my Heavenly Father is my brother and sister and mother, which means, of course, that whoever does not do the will of his Father is not his brother and his sister or his mother. I mean, the juxtaposition of these two passages from sacred scripture, the prophet Micah and Jesus' message about our Father's will, is a brilliant grace from above. And it helps us all to understand the infinity of our Father's intention to forgive, to realize that our Father sent Jesus to teach us about this forgiveness. If we just repent, even he sent Jesus, even though he knew what we would do to him. But he's still willing to forgive so long as we repent. Watch closely now. There's a fundamental part of Micah's words that, and Jesus' words, that seems to be completely lost on the many today. Hear Micah's words again. Who is there like you, the God who removes guilt and pardons sin for the remnant of his inheritance? Notice, dear family, notice that while Micah said there is no one like God who removes guilt and pardons sin. Notice, Micah also said that this would apply only to, quote, the remnant of his inheritance. Those words do not refer to some massive general clemency for all. Rather, it refers to the penitents who form a mere remnant of his inheritance. In other words, the few versus the many. In other words, dear family, contrary to the big lie, the great heresy that's out there, that hell is a lonely place because there aren't many people down there, that's a big lie. It's a heresy. That's not the gospel of Jesus. How many shepherds mislead the people and don't tell them the truth? It's a remnant that relies upon God who removes guilt and pardons sin if we repent. It's a remnant. Micah only refers to a remnant who will have their guilt removed because, just like Jesus said, only a few will strive to climb the narrow road to the narrow gate to heaven. It's a lie that hell is a lonely place. It's a terrible thing for any shepherd to mislead his people and give them then, as a consequence, a totally false sense of security. But there you have it. What exactly is going on? In our day and age, in our time and place, do you have any sense of sin? We've talked about this before, how the Pope said the greatest sin of the last century is the loss of a sense of sin. But why should we have any sense of sin if everybody's going to heaven anyway? Few have any sense of the requirement to repent. Didn't used to be that way. Our shepherds always used to teach us, listen, you have to repent. That's why we have a confessional. That's why Jesus' divine mercy picture is above our confessional. Because our Father is, he will remove all guilt and pardon our sins, but we have to repent. It's becoming more and more obvious that there really are just a few versus the many who will repent and attain to heaven. St. Vincent de Paul said, our business is to attain to heaven. That's our business. That's our purpose in life. Our business is to attain to heaven. And then he says this, everything else is a sheer waste of time. Well, that pretty much says it all right there, doesn't it? Our business is to attain to heaven. Everything else is a sheer waste of time. Yet in our day, how few there are who devote even a small portion of time, much less spend adequate and sufficient time on the business of attaining to heaven. Remember, boy, this is so important for our time, for our day, for our place. Remember what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane? Quote, there's Jesus. He goes off by himself to pray. He knows what's coming. He goes off and he's praying. He's sweating blood. And then he comes back to see the apostles. This happened three times. He comes back to see the disciples. And what are they doing? They're asleep. And he said to Peter, so you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you do not undergo the test, that you're spared from the test that's coming, Peter. You guys wake up, start praying. It's serious. How many people today who, though wide awake to temporal things, actually are fast asleep to eternal things, are fast asleep to the dangers that surround us, to Satan and his minions who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls? How many people are asleep to that fact? How many people are completely oblivious? I don't know how you could be otherwise, but completely oblivious, even in the midst of all we're going through this very day around the world, how many people are completely oblivious to the fact that the time for testing is upon us? How many are wasting valuable time on frivolous and temporal things instead of turning back to God alone and striving to be counted among the remnant Micah spoke about? Dear family, the time is upon us to focus almost exclusively on building our spiritual arcs. I said that so many times, build your temporal arcs, build your spiritual arcs. But now, spiritual arcs, get that spiritual arc built. Fill our lamps with oil. Because the bridegroom approaches. We have two funerals this week, two masses of Christian burial. The bridegroom's here. He arrived already for a couple of our parishioners. Fill our lamps with oil, for the bridegroom approaches. As always is the case, when the many abandon God and worship false idols, hell itself is let loose upon earth. I'm telling you, October 6th is a day that will live in infamy when Pachamama gets brought into St. Peter's. Oh my gosh. The consequences shall be dire. Hell itself is loosed upon earth when you see that. How foolish it is that the many do not do the will of our Father. Our Father in heaven did not think it was a good idea for Pachamama to be brought into St. Peter's. Oh my. How foolish it is that the many do not do the will of our Father and choose to not make a daily effort to know, love, and serve him in this world. In our day and age, in our time and place, it is becoming more and more obvious. It even goes so far beyond nearly obvious that there are just a few versus a many who know, love, and serve God. And that's not because the knowing him is some massively hidden secret. Knowing him is not some big secret. Jesus came, he promised us that if we seek, we will find. It's not a big secret. The failure to know God comes partly from just plain laziness and partly because of many choose to wallow in a culture of so many lesser important things, so many distractions that take up all their time. There's no time left for God. Do you remember I think I've told you this, when I asked the kids in high school, how much money are you going to make when you graduate from college? And then they gave me two different amounts, and it didn't matter what amount they gave me, because once you take off a third or more for taxes and the amount that you can afford to spend for a better car because you're making more money, the amount you're going to spend for better housing because you're making more money, it didn't matter whether you, one person I think said 40 or 50,000, another said 80. So we started take minus this, minus that, minus pizza on Fridays. No matter how much money they started with, they ended up with a massively negative amount. They were in the red. And then I asked a question after we took off. I mean, everything they could think of, clothing, vacations, health insurance. When we got down to the end, it was a red number. I said, well, hey, wait a minute. Where's the tithing for God? There was no money left over for God. And the first thing to go, the first thing out the window, because they were the ones that were suggesting what they're going to spend their money on. It wasn't part of their mindset. So, well, I better give back to a little bit to God. That same thing applies to each and every one of us regard to our time, which is all gift from God. How much time are we giving back? We fill our lives up with so many useless things, so many unimportant things. There's no time left for God. So many fail through their own fault to understand the admonition of St. Vincent de Paul. Our business is to attain to heaven. Everything else. He said everything. He didn't say a lot else. Most other things. No, he said everything else is a sheer waste of time. I'm just quoting him. Our business is to attain to heaven. Everything else is a sheer waste of time. The issue is not where any of us are along the narrow road. The issue is being on the narrow road in the first place, realizing that there's some time we got to devote to God, building our spiritual arcs, filling our lamps with oil in these crazy and dangerous, dangerous times. But how many do not have a clue? Then it's through their own fault, through their own sins of demission, not because the narrow road is not knowable, but because they have not sincerely thought, but rather waste has sought so much else that is a sheer waste of time. So let us know this morning and always that the narrow road is the road of repentance. But in order to know what to repent of, we first must come to know God. And so few actually do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.